I'd like to welcome Joel King. He is the bass player, singer for the Wild Feathers. Welcome to my program.
Hey, man.
So let's just jump right into it. Tell me a little bit about the history of the Wild Feathers and how you guys all came to get together.
Really, it just kind of started with us writing songs together. Me, Ricky, and Taylor got together. I met Ricky in Nashville, both of our bands, and playing around, and kind of wrote some songs, but really weren't thinking too much of it. It's kind of what you do in Nashville. And when we met Taylor, we kind of got this idea about getting kind of like a we could get a Christ Hills Nash Young thing going on and maybe have to not work so hard. So we just pretty much wrote some songs and sent it out and got some a little attention, started playing some shows. And it got to the point where we had to kind of quit what we were doing before and really pursue it. And got Preston and Ben in the band. And we had to convince Taylor to move to Nashville from Austin because he was kind of going back and forth. But then once we did that, it was full steam ahead. And then we just started custing good demos, got a little deal, and really tried to hit the road as much as possible. And that's where we really cut our teeth.
Why Nashville?
Well, we all moved from different places. Like me and Ricky, I moved from Oklahoma. Ricky was from Houston, or near Houston, Texas. We moved there separately, but I've been playing around my old group and toured a lot, and I was thinking L.A., New York, or Nashville, and I knew a lot more people in Nashville. The type of, just the vibe there, the type of music I was liking at the time. It was just, all the stars aligned for me, and I think Ricky, too, when he moved from Houston. But, wasn't much of a scene going on where I was from, and it felt really good. All the rock and roll bands there were really great.
Well, yeah, because that's what I was going to ask you. All of a sudden, you know, it's not so much L.A., not so much New York, and it seems like Nashville now is the hot place to be.
I know. And even in the last, three or four years, it's grown so much, and it's just such a big deal now. And now, the last three or four years, we've just been solid on the road and haven't had a chance to really soak it up lately. But, it's really cool.
So who were some of your musical influences growing up?
Oh, man. Number one has to be the Beatles. I pretty much think they wrote the Bible for a rock and roll band. You know, guys get together, write some songs, play shows, make records, try to experiment a little bit, do whatever. You know, I think that's the basis for any good rock and roll band. And most important is the good songs. But I grew up on the classics, just Beatles, Dylan, Stones, Zeppelin, that stuff. And then I think around, around 2001, 2000 era, a whole bunch of cool bands came out. I thought that Ryan Adams was really great and the White Stripes and the Strokes. And all those bands, I thought that was going to be the number one rock and roll sound. I guess it didn't take hold like I thought it was going to, but there was a whole new insurgence of good music. And I don't know, just I love classic music, and then this whole kind of newer wave of just kind of, I wouldn't say throwback music, but just good guitar, bass, drum, some keys.
From listening to it, I also seem to hear a little Tom Petty, a little bit of Black Crowes.
Oh, yeah. Tom Petty, Black Crowes, a couple of my favorites. The band, man. Oh, and also, you know, it really gets us going. I don't know if you can hear it in the music, but a lot of Graham Parsons or Dwight Yoakam or Waylon and Willie and the good country. It's as if we said we're going to be a rock and roll band in Nashville, and if we actually played country, we'd probably have to move out to California.
If you hadn't brought it up, I was going to definitely say Flying Burrito Brothers, Graham Parsons, if that was anything that was in your DNA there. But that's, as you say, it's pretty obvious. So my next question was going to be, at what point did you realize that you could actually do this for a living?
Well, you always hope that. I mean, I was working for long, ever since I dropped out of college after my one semester. But, we were always working for it. But then, still, it's still up in the air whether we can make a living at it. But but it just it's nice to be busy. But it's a lot of work as well, being gone all the time and traveling. You don't get paid to play shows. You get paid to travel and be gone all the time, as we say. Man, I don't know. I guess maybe when the record came out, until the record came out, when Warner Brothers put it out, we were like, we didn't really know how long you can hold out with making no money. And when that came out, I felt like we'd do all right.
Well, Well, I see on your Facebook page that you guys just came back from a tour of Europe. What was that like?
For some reason, Spain just loved us. I don't know where that came from, but we played there one time earlier in the year and in Madrid, and then so this time we went back and played Madrid and Barcelona and stayed in Barcelona for about a week and worked on some new tunes. And for this next tour, it was kind of a little mini vacation. We were already over there and everything. So, those places just, they totally, I guess, got a few spins on the radio and somebody picked it up and they just really dug it. And Germany and everywhere else was great too, but Spain especially was really good.
What's the best parts and the worst parts of being on the road?
Worst part, I guess, is definitely being away from, I'm the only married guy in the group, being away from my wife, but not sleeping, actually. Lack of sleep is probably the toughest. And that's the worst. And the best part is, the crowd, like the show. You know, you go on stage and that's the best, that's the best part of the day. And that's the type of thing, it's like any drug or anything like that. It's just a really awesome feeling and it's really why you do it. And it's a, we love playing live, so that's our drug right there. Favorite part of the day.
I noticed on YouTube you have some videos, the Truck Stop Cover Series. How did that all come about?
Somebody suggested that years ago. We could have done one forever because we were so, way before the record came out, we were just traveling these shows and jamming and just, playing a lot of covers and just messing around. And I'm like, you guys should record these and do this. And we're like, okay, cool. And we started doing it. And I don't know why. I think the reason we stopped is because we started having to do radio at like 6 a.m. and start doing all this other stuff. Before we didn't have any like success, we could just go to the show and have nothing to do all day. And so we just sit around and play guitar. Now we have so much stuff to do at every second of the day. And then if we're not doing that, we're sleeping. And so we haven't done it in a while. But, man, yeah, we had a good time with it. I wish we had a little time to do that now.
Well, if any of our listeners haven't checked it out, you should definitely go to YouTube and look those up because there's some great covers there. Ramblin' Man by the Allman Brothers, some Dylan, Levon Helm band. It is a lot of fun.
It's a lot like a campfire, Like, we can also get away with playing a lot of those covers. Like, when you don't have to have a full band, like, the full everything worked out, we're just, like, sitting along mandolin or a dobro and acoustic guitar, just jamming. It's a lot of fun.
Excellent. So if anybody's just joining in, I'm speaking with Joel King of the Wild Feathers. And let me ask you, what instruments, since you did mention the mandolin, what instruments do you play besides bass guitar?
Yeah, I just started playing bass after we'd been a band for about a year or so because I was playing guitar and we were having our buddies come out and play bass. We couldn't find anybody to stick. So I started playing bass and just kind of stuck with it and never went back. Yeah, I guess, I play guitar mainly, and then piano, and then mandolin, and then bass, probably. It was like one of the last instruments I learned. But just a little bit of, I can make noise with pretty much anything, but I'm not great at any of those instruments.
One of the interesting things about your band is that in many of the songs, you all share songwriting credits. How does that creative process work in the Wild Feathers?
It's kind of random how we write. Me and Ricky and Taylor do most all the writing, and we're always writing separately and together, and however song comes, it comes that way. Like, sometimes we're, like, sit down and, like, hey, we've got an idea, let's try to work this out and get something going. And then some songs, just like, I'm like, hey, man, I wrote this yesterday, what do you guys think? And it's like, perfect, that's fine, man, we'll just sing on top of that, play it. It kind of comes in all different forms. What we usually like to do is get together and kind of stockpile a lot of, like, our ideas. And so we've got, and then start cutting some demos. And we usually start to do like twice as many songs as we put on the record. And just kind of choose from those. But all the songs are different. Some songs are thought out and like, hey, we should need to say it like a lyric standpoint. Some songs start off as a riff. Everything's different.
The Wild Feathers, the self-titled debut album, came out last year. And so let me ask you about a couple of the songs on there, particularly a couple that I really, really like. My favorite song on there is The Ceiling. Can you tell me a little bit about that song?
Oh, The Ceiling? Oh, man, yeah. It started off as a riff. It took a lot of building on that because we tried to take some different songs that I'd had this riff, and then me and Ricky started playing it. He came in with this chorus chords and everything, and then Taylor came in with his part, where he sang, and we kind of like, oh, these things kind of like, I think this is going to work, and it kind of all meshed together, really well. They're all the same, it kind of like rose and rose. And then, again, we just go back to what would the Beatles type do? Let's just put all these together and then put it, another idea at the end. And it ended up being, one of our longest songs, but definitely one of our most epic songs.
Yeah, it clocks in at almost 7 minutes, but it's got a great opening riff.
Yeah, some songs we like to be very simple, and then some songs like that, we wanted to build and wanted to make it pretty big.
What about Backwoods Company?
Backwoods Company was when we were out in Pigeon Forge, another kind of riff thing, but we really wanted to kind of like use these words and these images of where we were at right then, and like, you know, kind of just drinking a lot and getting crazy out in the cabin. And it's pretty, so kind of like, you know, kind of acting the way it sounds out there. It's a fun song.
And both those songs have really good videos. There's a lovely young lady in the ceiling, which people should check out if you get a chance. Well, let me ask you about a couple songs that you either wrote yourself or co-wrote. I'm Alive.
That was just one I had. Just one I had that I felt like felt pretty good. I mean, I was pretty broke, I think, when I wrote it, but it's pretty simple message, pretty simple song.
What's it about?
Really self-explanatory. Like, I'm alive. I guess I'm doing all right. I guess I'm doing fine. You know, it's as long as you got your health, you're still alive. You still got still got something.
I got it. What about Got It Wrong?
Got It Wrong was one of the first songs that me and Ricky ever had worked on together. And and really, I don't know what that means or what it it felt like a good, like, we were out in California. It felt like a good summertime with a 12-string. And when we sang the harmonies, we sang together on that. We thought we could match up pretty good. And I really liked the harmonies on that one. I must say, my one of my favorite things is the little kind of like, I don't know if it's kind of mariachi or Mexican-y type part, the solo. Dun, 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 dun. I was really pleased with that.
The last song I was going to ask you about is I Can Have You.
Oh, yeah. Again, me and Ricky, we were talking about this, like, just kind of like, almost like being like an asshole in a song. You can totally do that. And I know some people thought it was like kind of like maybe we were assholes for saying stuff like that. But, you know, we thought it was kind of cool, and it was a little bit different and funky. And then what I also thought was funny about that song is that we just didn't even bother writing the second verse. We thought we got it on the first, so the first two verses, I mean, both verses are the same thing. And we just didn't even write in the second one.
Well, there's always a saying in the music business, you have your whole lifetime to write your first album, and then you got, quote-unquote, 6 months to come up with the next album. When's the next album coming out?
I know, pressure's on. Keep an ear out for the next one. Trying out some new songs at the show and everything, and hopefully get this thing out next year.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Dude, thank you for having me.